Well, thank you very much, Andrew. Thanks again to everybody as well. I don't know if I need to explain much, actually. I think the words of Jesus we've just heard read so beautifully by Karen there are so clear. And my job is really just to say a little bit, and maybe by way of explanation, and really try and get us to do what Jesus tells us to do. Now, it's lovely seeing people around, spread around with families, but I need some young people down at the front to help build something. Because you need to help illustrate what we were doing last Sunday, which sets it up ready for what we're going to do this morning. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask maybe if one or two of the younger ones do want to come down and just help. I've got some boxes over there, all right? Now, you young people here, if you're up for this, start off. Let's go and get hold of one. And because last Sunday we were talking about a man who did really well in business. So well, in fact, that he started building barns for all the stuff he was growing and making. And so if we have one of his barns over here, and you know, when that was full, he had to build another one. So how about it? Come on, folks, up on your feet. Are you going to grab some of the boxes then? That would be lovely. And we'll start building these things up. We want some big barns built. All right, see if you can get them as high as you can. And I'll carry on talking to everybody else who's... just keep their one there. Cheers. Thank you. Good. One barn there, what do you reckon? We need to have a few strategically placed. On top of there then, with that one, Lucy. And one over here, should we have a barn over here? He did so well, this person. And keep going, that's it. And then you keep getting bricks and passing them and building, and we'll see how your buildings look in a minute. Right. Now here's the deal, folks, and this is important for all of us, because we said this last week to us grown-ups when you were out in the back, children, doing your great fun groups there. But we often think that the story Jesus told about barns being built and a foolish man who basically didn't give God any thinking at all, we often think that's to do with somebody else. And what Jesus was saying is, actually, this is a lesson we all need to take on board. Take a seat then, and then I've got something else for you to do in a minute. Thanks for those barns. We've got some good ones. And this is the point Jesus was making, that when this man who was so engrossed in making money and building his barn. That's a very good builder. Excellent. Precision building. Look at that. Thank you. That's fine. We've got a design going on here as well. That's excellent. That's great. Well, stay at the front if you would, because I've got another thing for you to do in a minute. Now, here's back into the detail. So easy to think that this is for somebody else, but actually, you know, this was for me and it's for each of us. Not just about how much money we're making through life, but Jesus says there's all kinds of greed and we need to be really careful. And as I was thinking about the man in the story Jesus was talking about there who built the big barns, you know, he would have had lots of things to worry about. The people he was employing, the buildings themselves, were they big enough? How do you grow even further? When do you decide to plant? When do you pull the crops in? All these details that can be really causes for worry in any generation. And this morning, as we build on the back of that with this next section in Luke chapter 12, I want to really make the point that, you know, we all worry about things, whether we are the younger ones in the building or whether we are much older. And I want to find out a little bit what some of those things are. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're near Karen there, she's going to ask you, and Joe's got some questions. We're going to write down some of the things in the front row that you're worried about. Maybe if you've got kids around you, you want to ask them that question. You know, what are some of the things that worry you if you're at junior school? We've got some who are at secondary school as well, and maybe they're up for this. I don't know whether you want to come and write them on a box as well, but I need to hear some answers in a minute. What sort of things are people worried about? And then I'm going to ask the question, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80-somethings, 90-somethings, because we all worry. And I don't know about you, but as Andrew started our service this morning with those beautiful pictures of the daffodils and the cherry blossom and the lambs in the fields, I thought, wow, that is really amazing. And what we're about to do this morning is discover how is it that we often walk around through life with this heavy, almost invisible rucksack on our back full of worries. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. So I'll tell you the truth, I came to church this morning, I was worried. Whole stack of things in my mind. Things that I didn't know how they're going to work out. What are we going to do? And we need to hear the teaching of Jesus. So find out some words. Let's do that, if you would, for a minute. And If you're in an older category of decade, then think to yourself, what are some of your worries in life at the different stages? I'll carry on talking while you're just doing that with your group leaders at the front here. Jesus pinpoints three things: food, drink, clothes. I started to research all the statistics of how many millions and billions of pounds, or euros for our German friends, are spent every year on food, drink, clothes. And I thought, you know, the figures actually are so big we can't take them in. But you and I know we live in a world that they are bombarding us with adverts for the next thing, the bigger barn, to really get this, to enjoy life to the full. And if only we have this food, or go to that restaurant, or if only we can do this experience, then we will have a richer life. And you know, I need to say this while our kids are just quickly doing the words. God isn't a spoil sport. God has made things for our enjoyment, the world included, so food and drink and all the things he has put in it. Praise God. Wow. But the snag is, we end up concentrating too much on those things and forget the real important secret he's got for us. So, time for some answers here. Let's hear what some of the things are. We're going to do this in decades, all right? I don't know if anybody's prepared to read to me the words that they've come up with in their little groups. Karen's still busy scribbling, and Irene as well. But let's... Have we got a mic still, Andrew, that handheld one? Be lovely to hear some voices here. Okay.
I'll turn this one off.
So Andrew is my assistant. Okay. Let's hear what some of the things for those at primary school age range have come up with.
People in Ukraine.
Can you say that one again?
The people in Ukraine.
The people in Ukraine. Worried. Yes, especially if you've got family there and friends. That's, thank you, Edwin.
Bullies
at school, that can be really worrying, can't it? Thank you.
We had the dark as well.
The dark, yeah. Let's have a mic over on this side.
When people are poorly and die.
Yeah, thank you for that one, Kayla. When people are poorly and die, I'll repeat it for
those. Scary films.
Scary films, yeah.
Spiders.
Spiders. Some of us older ones are still scared of spiders as well, yeah. Thank you, Lucy. Somebody else?
School.
School. Yeah, that can be worrying, especially first day at school.
And homework.
Yeah, homework. I'll say that one out loud, all right. Okay, that's great. Any others? Well, let's go up a category. I mean, I know young people, maybe this isn't cool, but I just need to hear a few answers. Who's up for shouting something out that... something that secondary school young people would think, cool, that's a bit... Say again. Coursework deadlines. Big worry. Big pressure. Absolutely. Thank you. Anything else? Exams? Yeah. You're allowed to tell somebody else who will shout it out for you if you want, all right? So, but exams can be very worrying times. Yes. Somebody else?
Worried about shouting out.
Worried about shouting out. Very good, Steve. Impeccable timing, Mr. Jones. Lovely. That's great. I mean, here's the thing. At every stage of life, we have worries. And I think this is important to say because some of us, when we grow older, we seem to think that children, oh, their worries are not much. They'll grow out of it. But, you know, we've all got stacks of worries. Now, I'm going to do this slightly different, but I went up through the different age groups and rather than asking you to shout out, let me give you some of the things that Gordon MacDonald uses in his book. I think these are brilliant because they describe the changing phases of life. Not everybody's worried about these things, I hasten to add. So if you weren't worried, don't start become worried just because of the list. But let me go to the list if I could, please. Next slide. Great. 20-somethings. The sort of questions that often a 20-something is processing. What sort of person am I becoming? Where can I find friends who will welcome me as I am? Can I love and am I lovable? What will I do with my life? What parts of me in my life need to change? Around what person or conviction will I organize my life? Big questions. 30-somethings. The shift starts to happen. Something just goes on. This isn't a formula. This is just what happens. We're human. How do I prioritize the demands being made on my life? How far can I go in fulfilling my sense of purpose? Who are the people with whom I know I walk through life? What does my spiritual life look like? Where the questions shift here from the ideals of youth to the realities of life, there's a bit of processing and reflection goes on as responsibilities start to accumulate. Why am I not a better person? I think in the 30s there are sometimes nagging questions of failure that are worries of life. I had a rucksack over there. I don't need it to put it on, but you know, it's like the rucksack of life. We carry this sort of stuff around, and then we go into our 40s. Let's look at some of these questions. Who was I as a child? And how does that influence who I am today? Now, I'm not trying to be all psycho whatever about this, but you know, this is a very natural processing pattern. Why do some people seem to be doing better than I am by this stage of life? Why am I sometimes disappointed in myself and others? Why do I seem to face so many uncertainties? What can I do to make a greater contribution to the world? And what would it take to pick up a new calling in life and do the things I've always wanted to do? And so we hit 50. Drat. Okay, let's go on to the... this was me last summer. So anyway, this is the sort of thing. Why is time moving so fast? In a sense, not that we always know when the second half of our life begins, but this is the second half phase, roughly speaking. Why is my body becoming unreliable? And how do I deal with my successes and my failures? And how can my spouse, if I have one, and I reinvigorate our relationship now and when the children are gone? And who are these people, young people, wanting to replace me as they emerge? And what do I do with my doubts and my fears? And will we have enough money for the retirement years? Isn't it interesting in that rucksack of worries that we sometimes by this stage seem to have more questions than answers? All ages. And then into the 60-somethings. Big question, when do I stop doing the things that I've always defined me? Why do I feel ignored by a large part of the younger generation? Why am I curious about who is listed in the obituary columns and how they died and what kind of lives they lived? And what is yet to be accomplished? And do I have enough time to do all those things I dreamed of doing? And we're allowed to smile and laugh, but you know there's some serious stuff in here as well that some of you have articulated and feel. Not all of the things, of course. And that last one, what have I done that will outlive me? Because there's a deep desire in every human being to do something that will last and to make an impact, rather than this feeling that life was so fast and fleeting, here today, gone tomorrow. 70-somethings, in fact, I think this is the last one. 70, 80 pluses, all right? Something like this. Does anyone realize or even care who I once was? That's a big worry. How much of my life can I still control, especially as the body weakens, perhaps? Spiritual questions. Is God really there for me? Why all this anger and irritability that sometimes just explodes within me? So frustrated. And am I ready to face death and heaven? Questions like that if we go there. What is it really all about and like? Now, of course, you don't have to be 70 plus to ask some of those other questions, I hasten to add. But you'll get something of the progression through the years. And as I read that book, A Resilient Life by Gordon MacDonald, I just think that's so helpful. And then bringing the teaching of Jesus to bear, because are we meant to walk around with these heavy worries weighing us down? Well, Jesus says no. Do two things. Number one, look up. Look up and consider the birds of the air. Next slide is, not that you need it, but just as the reminder. In fact, can you skip past the hymn, that one? Keep skipping and then we'll get to the picture. There you go. Don't worry. Look up, next picture. I have got it. Sorry, Ruth, I've just found it. Thank you. All right. Consider the birds, Jesus says. Everywhere. And this is so lovely. This is what I mean. I don't want to muck up the teaching of Jesus here, but he says, look at the ravens. Now, we imagine all around there would have been ravens. But, you know, I just thought I want to choose a different bird here, because what Jesus is saying, let the birds be your teachers. Think about that, young people. Not just your teachers at school or your teachers at church, but let the birds in the sky be your teachers this morning. And what Jesus is saying is this: watch them carefully, see how they feed and get what they need. You never see a bird with a worried face on it, do you? That's the point Jesus is making. And what I love about, I didn't know much about ravens, but one of my favourite birds, the woodpecker, and you can just make the woodpecker out there. For those who've heard the woodpecker, we used to live near woods and we'd go walk the dog and just, the woodpecker just in the trees, amazing. Hard to spot sometimes. But you can hear them as they're tapping on the wood. And the thing about the woodpecker is this, for some of you better, you know this better than I do, but God's brilliant design. He has built into this tiny bird the power to get their food. Let me just run through a few of the things. The hammer of its beak, which is so brilliant. It's like a drill can drill a hole into the bark of the tree to get the insects out. Its head is built with a shock absorbent tissues to take the power. It closes its eyes very naturally. The beak is stronger than a sharp steel nail. Now, if we thought our engineering was good, God's engineering is so much better on this one. Wow. And the woodpecker, the neck muscles are like the workman with a pneumatic drill. Now, I didn't know this, but you've seen the men and women sometimes. I have to add women, but mainly men. When they're building the roads and mending the roads, and they have these big drills, big, powerful pneumatic drills. Ever seen that? Noisy. They've got their ear muffs on and so on. And they always stand with their legs apart because of the power of the drill. Now, God has designed the woodpecker that its feet stand apart with claws that just grip so powerfully to be able to take all the shock absorber that's going on. Amazing. And then this incredible tongue that the woodpecker has, unlike other birds, goes right in. It's 5 times longer than most ordinary birds. And it's shaped and it's got a sticky surface. So as the woodpecker has drilled its hole right in to the bark of the tree, then the tongue goes in to grab hold of an insect to eat, to keep it happy. Now what Jesus is saying, look at the birds, look at the ravens, look at the woodpeckers I had, or look at any other favourite bird you've got. And be amazed at God's design and the fact that they're not worried about where their next meal is coming from. In a sense, they're trusting their Heavenly Father, their Creator, without even perhaps knowing it. And we are so much more than they. And then second thing Jesus says is, not just look up at the birds, look across. Look across at the flowers of the field. Verse 27, see how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin, yet God clothes the grass of the field with splendor. And there's another lovely one of those pictures. And how about this? And the visual aid as well. Because as I get close and look at the detail in these daffs, beautiful colours, beautiful smell, and think, what an amazing Creator God who has just designed that and scattered the flowers across down the paths and the parks and the fields and the mountains for our enjoyment. The flowers are to be our teachers as well. We're meant to notice them. And this is what I thought, and I wonder if I can have a few of you to help me finally. Who's feeling really strong today? A few of you? Come and stand up here if you're feeling strong. Because, arms out, you're going to carry. Let's see how many of these you can carry, all right? Stand this way, face. Oh, we've got a few. I won't be able to have too many. Let's have two or three. Come in a line. That's it. And I'm going to load you up. Okay, I'll load you up, and then you can turn around, right? So this is what they are. Have one of those. One of those. All right. One of those. Feeling strong? All right. Now, this is the point. Jesus doesn't want us to get so engrossed with all our worries. So you imagine going through today or tomorrow or this week, and you're worried about this thing. You're worried about that thing. Andrew, do you want to load up? Have you got? You all right there? Yep. Yeah, I load up a few others. Lots of worries of life all grabbing us. You going to manage this for another minute? Yeah? There's determination going on here, I can see. All right, last one. You're allowed to drop them if you want. Can you do a little twist and turn so people can see you as well? And here's my point. Here's my point. The worries of life can block our vision. So we're not looking up at the birds and not able to notice the flowers of the fields. And we forget. One more, just to try it. How about that? Okay, drop your boxes. How about that? Drop your boxes. Well done. Take your seats. Thank you for helping me. Oh, clap as well. Yeah, I'm done really. What I wanted to say was just that. Let's not allow the worries of life to become so heavy, distracting us, that we forget that the maker of the birds of the sky and the flowers of the field is the one who has designed these things for us to enjoy, for intricacy. Those flowers perhaps that you gave to your mum today, smell them, look at them, enjoy their beauty. And God designed those things and they're not going to last very long. That's the reality of flowers. If God did all that for something that is temporary, how much more, I've put the words on the screen at the top there, how much more will God look after us and be interested in each one of us? I think I'd love us to pray because Jesus, in a sense, was encouraging us to stop and just to say thank you to him. And to check where our treasure is, whether we're trying to build barns of some sort or other. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your teaching to disciples. We thank you that you look after the birds and the flowers and you know every single one. We pray that you would help us to leave the strain of our lives with you. Remembering that you are our Heavenly Father, God, and you know what we need. Help us to stop running after things which will ultimately wear out or break or perhaps be stolen. Help us to get our treasure, our heart, where you are, to seek you first and your kingdom. And that these things will be given to you as well, to each one of us, we pray. Amen.